Hey guys, welcome. It's Susan Baracco. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to our call. Glad you guys are here. Welcome, welcome. Please say hello in the chat and let me know that you can hear me. If you would, just type in a quick hello. Eva, welcome. Hey there. Greg, good to have you here. Ilhan, hey, welcome. Leslie, Michael has joined us. Thanks for being here. Ellen and Patricia. Hey, folks, thanks for typing that in. Glad you can hear me. Sandra, welcome. We got a nice group here today. This is exciting. And only a few days before the holiday. Holidays, holidays. How exciting. I hope that's a good thing for everybody. I would love to hear one of the other groups that I help Ed with. They have an online Facebook group and posted this question to the group, and I thought it was really interesting. So I wanted to share this with you. And what is your word or theme for 2020? So, for example, one of the words that somebody shared was dare, and dare to, in the sense of dare to go outside of your comfort zone, that kind of thing. So we're looking for like one word. So another person shared the word income because they want to focus on their income in 2020. They want to expand their income and grow. So if you have a theme for 2020, and that you can describe in a word, I'd love to hear what that is. And Ilhan, for you, theme for 2020, you said use my calendar to get more done. Maybe it would be focus for you, or productivity might be a word for you for 2020. That's cool. Patricia says adventure. That sounds exciting. Greg says his word is focus. Leslie says her word for her theme for 2020 is persistence. I love that. Eva shared hers. It's skyrocket. What a great word. I love that. Love, love, love that. Patricia says adventure in both business and personal life. Absolutely. Ilhan says intentionality. Perfect. Michael says, I like Patricia's, but I'm going with money. I agree. That's great. I love skyrocket. That's kind of fun. That's a fun and unique word. Love adventure. Even being intentional. I think that's, you know, to kind of set that as your theme for the year as you go into 2020, and we're right around the corner from that. So I wanted to open today's call with that. And I think it's a matter of, you know, write that word down. Or if you know, you're kind of coming up with this, but you want to think about it a little bit more, maybe between now and the first of the year, think about, so what is my theme for 2020? What's the one thing I'm always going to go back to and remind myself of? And I'd put it on a sticky or someplace where you can see it every day. It's just like, you know, so for today, using Leslie's word, what does persistence look like today? So every day I sit at my desk, I fire up my computer, I get my work organized. I think, how could I be more persistent today? How could I be persistent today? What does that mean? And how do I actually act that out, if you will, on a daily or weekly basis? So that might be something to add to your as you're looking at, this is a time of year, I know, when I personally am always looking at how did I do? I was just looking at that earlier today. Is, you know, I'm almost done. I've just got another payment coming in from a client that I just brought on, and I'm looking at that to see where I landed financially, what was my revenue for this year, and how much did I pay myself, things like that. So it's that time of year where I start to do a bit of reflection and then a little bit of forecasting. So I thought this would be a fun way to get you thinking about what's 2020 going to look like, and is there a word that you can kind of anchor, or a theme that you can anchor your actions on? So good. Thank you for sharing. It's fun. All right. Hey, Ryan, Sandra, who else? Wow, we got a nice group here today. So welcome, everybody. Awesome. I would love to start with wins, because I know this group is really super active. I see you guys on Facebook. You got a lot of good things going on. And even though it is a few days before Christmas and the holiday season, regardless or depending what holiday you celebrate in the next week or two, there's a lot going on that's very distracting. But yet, it seems like business is getting done. So anything that is a win for you, please share it, big or small, so we can all celebrate. And Patricia, I see that you said just before this call, a client paid a larger invoice. That's a win. I'm going to put that in the win column for you. Congratulations, especially right before the holidays. You can kind of breathe a sigh of relief. I know for me, as we get towards the holidays, it's hard sometimes to get people's attention. People are out. Sometimes it's hard to get invoices paid this time of year. But when you get one in right before the holiday, it's like, whew, okay. I can kind of relax a little bit until, and not have to worry so much or be so focused on that until after the holidays. So Ilhan says he began warm email prospecting and the LinkedIn 321 prospecting. Excellent. That is a win. Michael says he launched his very first website. Hey, congratulations. That's a huge win, honestly. Everyone on the call has had to do that, go through that same process of creating a website and getting it out into the world. It's a lot of work. So congratulations. It's time consuming. Eva's win is I earned 6 clients in the last, 10 days. Some are not starting till January 1st, but all before are all going to be recurring work and going ongoing as long as we work well together. Excellent. That's huge. What a great way to end the year and go into the new decade with a whole bunch of new clients already on deck and ready to work with you. Congratulations. And I think, Eva, you could use Skyrocket as your theme for 2019. You've made some amazing progress this year. So congratulations overall. Greg says, took a full-time content writer gig with a digital marketing agency remote, so I stay in Portland. Congratulations. Hey, that's fantastic, Greg. What a, again, great way to end, wrap up your 2019 and start 2020. I'll be interested in hearing how that goes for you as you kind of dig in. And it sounds like you're going to be on staff as opposed to freelance. Just type that in so that I'm clear on that. But that's either way, it's going to give you fantastic experience. So congratulations. Leslie says she's got a new web client and a Madrid, Spain firm wants me to write a monthly blog. We're working on the contract now. Congratulations, Leslie. Yay. Another one. See, business gets done. People get to thinking, it's Christmas. I'm not going to do too much. There's a lot that goes on in the weeks, in the last couple weeks of the year. And Patricia says, I asked in the Facebook group, can someone share the link to the 321 LinkedIn? I am happy to do that after the call. I can post it in the Facebook. And if anybody happens to have it handy, 321, and wants to post the link to it in the chat, go for it. If not, I will make sure and put it out on Facebook after our call today. Sandra has finished a case study course. Congratulations. That is a win. I hope that was worth your time and investment in it, that you feel that you're going to be able to get something out of it. Greg said, yeah, you'll be on staff. Wow. Good for you. That's exciting. Yay. There you are. Thank you, Ilhan, for sharing that link. Hope you see that. Let's see. Patricia, make sure and look at Ilhan posted the link to the 321 training. And there you are. Casey Hubbard. Oh, Sandra, Casey Hubbard. Great. Good for you. Yes, worth it. Excellent. It's exciting too. Congratulations too for getting through a course again right about this time of year, because then you can really dive in and start marketing yourself for case studies and really know what you're talking about, have a comfort level and a familiarity with the terminology and the approach in and around case studies. So good for you. That's great. great way to, another great way to start off 2020, and go back to any clients that you have worked for in the past that maybe you did just blog writing articles, miscellaneous type things. And it's a great reason to reach out and say, hey, I'm now, you know, offering case studies, would love to talk with you about it, you know, build some marketing around that to your existing client base, people that already know and like you and have worked with you. Awesome. Yeah, lots of good things going on in this group. And Patricia says, I'm working on positioning in my game plan. Excited about finally getting my draft website content out for feedback. Awesome. I look forward to seeing that. And good for you. Again, nice thing to be able to cross off your list at the end of 2019. So I kind of enjoy the end of the year change like this. It's just a time for, you know, to really kind of sit back, do a little analysis of, you know, what's gone well, what needs to be improved and make changes. So kind of an exciting time. All right. And I was on a call yesterday. Ed sat in on a call yesterday, and he was talking about the fact that if people are in the office, and a lot of people are, not everyone takes like 2 weeks off. No, not everyone can do that. Many other organizations, most people stop sending the emails during the holidays. They aren't, you know, sending out warm emails or any kind of email correspondence. It's not the same during the holidays. So it's actually a great time to get noticed. So if you do send out emails, you know, in the days, like maybe the days, the couple days after the holiday in between, between like Christmas and New Year's, and even right after those, in those next 2 weeks, they might have a better chance of being noticed and read, as opposed to in the throes of a regular business day where they're getting people's inboxes are full. They're not going to be quite as full. Most places tend to scale back during the holiday. So just keeping that in mind, I thought that was an interesting comment that he made. So, all right. Patricia says, huge for me. I've been procrastinating for almost a year. Oh my gosh, woman. Get her done. Definitely get that done. So important to just, because once, especially with a website, and I'm, most of you have been in this for a bit now and you understand that you get your website up, you can leave it alone for a couple of months, you know, unless you're really made some changes, you may be pivoting, adding new services, anything like that. But once you get it up and you get it to a place where you're reasonably satisfied, like 80%, 75, 80% satisfied, you just let it run, just let it go, and see how it works for you. So getting it behind you would be a good thing to cross off your list. Awesome. 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 It sounds like a lot of people are poking around on that 3-2-1 LinkedIn, training. And I would love to hear if there's anything else that you're implementing either from your game plan or, if you haven't mentioned it already in the chat, and anything that you're thinking about doing, any changes, anything that, any approaches that are new and different, please share those in the chat as well. If there's something that you've been trying that seems to be working for you, people are getting, you're getting more responses or whatever the case may be, so that everyone on the call can benefit from seeing what you're doing. But I would love to hear if there's anything in particular that you're implementing or planning to implement after the first of the year, anything like that. All right, hey, Joanne, I see you joined us too. Welcome, and Ellen, I don't think I saw you come in earlier, so welcome, glad you're here. Great stuff. Eva, thanks for that response. Eva said she's focused on local networking. I use my positioning statement and give one tip when I do my intro, and inevitably I get one person to come up to me after the meetings. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, good for you. Good for you. And I love the idea of giving a tip. That's so cool. That's really makes you very approachable, especially if it's a live networking type of a situation like that where you're in person and you're talking to people. It makes you very approachable and I think that's huge. It sounds like it's working well for you. So, and I love too that you're doing the local networking, because sometimes, especially as if you're an introvert, and many folks are, there's plenty of introverts in this program, and you know, are trying to make this work. So going to a local or live networking, a live event can be uncomfortable at the very best in terms of having to go out and introduce yourself and talk to people. So I love the idea of mixing those different types of marketing, because local networking, getting out and shaking hands, talking to people it's really powerful. You know, it's just a nice different way of marketing yourself that's not all online. Awesome. Greg says, I'm tailoring lessons from this course to build my authority as a B2B content writer without the pressure of pulling business in the door. There you go. And you know, Greg, you just never know how things go. You know, it's something that maybe you work for this agency for a while and then, you know, head in a new direction. So the things that you're going to discover and learn here are going to serve you no matter what the situation. It'll serve you long term. So good for you. Eva says, I don't fall into the introvert category, but yes, it's live networking. I just find people like me, which is good. Michael says, I finished warm email prospecting course, but feel like I need to know something about pricing. So now reviewing that material. Great. And if you have questions, feel free as you're going through that, please, you know, post your questions in the Facebook group so that Ed and I can help you out if you have further questions as you start going through that. Patricia says, part of a weekly Monday lunch, BNI style for small business owners. It's wonderful for networking and meeting people. Great. Leslie says, I received two great projects through our local networking group. One referral obtained through this group just led to the new web client gig. Great. Yeah, it's amazing how local networking really can connect you. You know, you might not think so, but it's good to get out. It really is good to get out and go to events once in a while. Keep it in your marketing mix. All right. Well, let's dive into questions today. You know the drill. Type in a capital Q. Keep your question as focused and specific as possible. And one question, if you would, please, and I'll come back. We have a pretty good group of people here today. Hopefully you came ready with some questions and some thoughts, some things that you might be curious about or need some feedback on. So feel free to type in your question. And definitely, as I mentioned, this time of year is interesting because there's a lot of, you know, you're transitioning, things might be slowing down a little bit. Maybe you're traveling for the holidays, you know, as part of your holiday activities might be to, you know, to be out of, away from the office for extended period, things like that. So any questions that you have in and around any of that? I have actually I don't know if you folks are familiar with this. Ed mentioned it. He talked about it yesterday, and I thought it was really interesting. It's called the Four Imperatives Quadrant, and it's similar to Stephen Covey's quadrants, similar but different. And I'll share it with you because I thought it was really powerful. It's similar, like I said, similar but different. And so quadrant one, if you have a sheet of paper and you want to turn it sideways so it's a landscape, and then you put a big cross in the middle in terms of cutting the page into four equal quadrants. And the first one, top left-hand side, is the four imperatives. The first one is today. So anything that's, well, he referred to it as fires, something that's urgent or immediate, an immediate need that you absolutely have to do, anything that is, you know, you would write down a list in this first quadrant of anything that you absolutely have to get done today. Then the second quadrant is that top right-hand side, and that you would title tomorrow. And so this is the same kind of a quadrant that Stephen Covey uses, where it's urgent, not urgent, but very important. So you might, in this category, create a list of things, like maybe you need to brainstorm some blog ideas for yourself, article ideas that you want to, because it's very important, because it's part of your marketing mix, it's part of your outreach, but it's not urgent. So things along those lines would make a list, a short list to put in quadrant two. And then on the bottom left would be the quadrant titled Me. And that would be anything to do with self-care. And self-care in the sense of not necessarily just your physical needs, but taking breaks, changing your work environment, maybe, you know, so today I'm going to go and work at the coffee shop for the morning just to, you know, for a new setting, that kind of thing. Just different types of self-care. And it might even be something that it allows you to be a better writer. And that's kind of interesting to me. That was a one that I hadn't really thought about yet, is just, you know, do a list of a couple of different things that you know you need in order to take good care of yourself as a writer and as a professional. And then the fourth quadrant is bottom right-hand side, and that's business. And what Ed explained was this is tasks that you do when you're working on your business. So you're thinking about perhaps your strategy for 2020 or the direction you want to take your business, maybe thinking about what educational needs you have for the new year, what different things that you might want to be accomplishing. And when you have your lists, and this is a good thing to do, again, this time of year, be a good thing to think about, sit down and make a list. He suggests reading this every morning to see. And the thing that's going to change the most often, obviously, is the today, quadrant one, top left, because that's, you know, urgent things. If you're crossing them off, that's kind of your to-do. But also kind of look, and then looking at a recap at the end of the week to say, okay, I looked at, you know, I have a number of these are goals for me for 2020. And he recommends that you score well in at least 3 out of 4 of the quadrants every week. So recap at the end of the week to see how you did and where you might need to spend a little more focus time. And I thought that was kind of a neat, simple, very neat. And maybe on there too, you could put your theme for 2020 is, you know, the word or the one thing that you're going to be focusing on. And it all stems from that. But I thought that might be helpful for everybody. All right, got a couple of questions. Thank you, thank you. Awesome. So Ryan, you're up first with a question. Any tips for overcoming the resistance when completing a project? Typically when I get revision feedback after spending hours on a big project, maybe it's the holidays, maybe I'm just tired, but it's been tough to focus the last couple of weeks. And Ryan, I would bet that it's all of the above. Project fatigue is common when you've worked really hard, you've spent a lot of time and focused. If at all possible, one of the things that I do when I get a project back, and you know, there's again more revisions, is I try to put a little bit of space and step away and not think about it at all, and try and get more time away. I find that if I focus on something different for a little while, it helps me to go back and feel a little bit more energized when I have to go back to that. I just saw a really funny meme that somebody shared about, you know, a sixth round of editing, and the picture is like an old painting of maybe like people like from the Romans, you know, guys with a kind of a, like a gown on and sandals. And one of the guys, the writer is bleeding. The guy who's supposed to be representing the writer is bleeding, and the other guy's trying to help him up. And it's a painting. It's really funny. And it's just, yeah, sixth round of edit. Please, you know, please help me get up so I can get through this last round of edit. So you're not alone by any means. It is incredibly challenging sometimes, depending on how many revisions you do. And I work on books, so it's a little bit different. There's a lot more revisions. Typically, there are many, many more rounds of editing. With the shorter projects like most of you work on, it's probably not quite so many, but it can be exhausting after you've put an enormous amount of effort into it. So I would definitely recommend some time away. The other thing that you might do is see if you can locate someone to review it for you. So just as a, you know, maybe partner up with another writer where you trade projects to, you know, for review. I know a lot of folks who do that for editing purposes and review purposes is a fresh set of eyes, but someone who actually knows what they're doing in terms of writing, and you're just exchanging and supporting each other by doing that. And sometimes that can be helpful too, is to just have somebody else review it and make suggestions for you to make it a little bit easier to get back and review and revise based on the feedback, the combined feedback that you get. I hope that was helpful. But time away is always a good thing to step away from a project, even if it's not a huge, massive project, but something a little bit smaller. Doesn't matter the size. Just stepping away from it is, I find, incredibly helpful. And if anybody else has other tips that they find it's helpful for them, please feel free to add that to the chat as well. Greg, you're next. Greg's question, tips for how to compile a list of conferences, trade shows that gather people, businesses that tend to hire freelance writers. I think that there are a number of, the ones that I see that are most interesting are speaker bureaus. There's a couple of different places where you can get information about speakers bureaus. There's one that I belong to that's pretty inexpensive to belong to. And I actually do speaking. So it's something that's valuable to me, but it also gives me and they look for conferences all around the world. So this is a global, their view is global in terms of all of the different events going on around the world. And you can search by category or industry, that kind of thing. I'm not sure if anyone else, has any specific resources, anything online that you could direct Greg to, that would be great. But that would be where I would go. The other place would be trade industry associations. So if trade or industry associations. So if you're looking, Greg, to focus on AI as an example, you should be able to find organizations for that where professionals who are in AI, as an example, would come together. And most of the time, those websites will have a list of events that are coming up in that industry. All right, Eva. Eva says, looking for different ideas to stay organized. I filled up my capacity planner with my estimated workload and printed it because I find I need to have things in front of me. And not hidden in a program on my computer. I just started using it. Does anyone recommend a planner or daily calendar, paper version? My phone calendar holds business and family meetings appointments, so it's a mess for keeping track of clients and projects. Let me see. I'm also not great at updating a CRM, surprisingly. So a couple of things, Eva. I think that we have... if you go into the Facebook group and in the search bar, you type in hashtag resources, there is a document that provides all different kinds of tools that people have just contributed to over time, of different tools that they use. You might look at tools that are more project-based, like I think Zoho might be one. That's it's a CRM, but it also allows you to do to track projects. So you might look at something along those lines. I'm trying to think. I'm drawing a blank. There's one other that there's a couple different ones. So I don't know if anyone has a separate software that they use. But most of the CRM tools, many of them, I shouldn't say most, but many have that extra calendar task type functionality. So a CRM might be honestly one of your better bets to go to to get started. If you're already using a CRM, check the one that you're using to see what other kind of functionality, see if you can make that work and have a separate calendar. I know Google, I believe, and most, a lot of calendar systems too have, you can have more than one calendar. So you could have your personal calendar and your professional calendar and keep them separate. So there's a couple different ways to do that. It's the biggest issue, honestly, Eva, is making the time to utilize the tools. I know for me that certainly is the case for me. Like, yeah, there's all kinds of fancy schmancy tools, all kinds of shiny, dazzly things I could be using and spending money on. But the bottom line is, if I'm not going to spend, if I'm not going to use it, it's not going to help me. So I think the bigger thing, I know for me, like I said, for me personally, is to make sure, okay, I've got all these tools. I want to look first at the ones I'm already using that my database is already in. So there, you know, perhaps my clients are already in there. Maybe there's projects and that kind of thing that are already, you know, all that, there's information already in there, and then see if there's some way to add on. Does it have the functionality to then maybe have projects and be able to do project tracking and that kind of thing, and a specific calendar for that. And if anybody has ideas and suggestions for Eva, please share them in the chat. All right, Ilhan, is the next question. I want to start creating my own content to share on LinkedIn. I'd like to show my expertise as a consultant and strategist, as well as my skills as a writer. Where do you recommend to find good content topic ideas for business writing? This is a great question. It is always something that I think people struggle with, is to come up with content ideas. If you just simply Google, you'll find some content ideas. There's people that'll offer it like as a lead magnet. You could download different ideas. I've seen that before. But the thing I would do, Ilhan, is for you is to start with looking at the companies, the industry that you're focused on. And so take a step back and think about, what are the top three or four things that people in the industry, companies in the industry, are always doing wrong? You know, maybe they could do better. Maybe they really fall down at, you know, just keeping their blog maintained or something along those lines. Maybe it's social media, maybe it's messaging, maybe it's talking, making sure that they're human or talking to the right audience, those kinds of things. And so if you think about, if you were to go through and target, let's say you have a certain industry that you're focused on, and maybe you've got a handful of companies that you'd really like to work with, do an audit just for your own use. Go through and audit a couple of websites, audit their social media, take a look, see what they're doing and how they're doing it. And what I would recommend is that you look at both sides of that coin. So maybe start a list of the top five mistakes that you see companies making, and then a list of the top five best practices that you see companies practicing. So you could have, so right there, you've got 10 things that you could write about, that you could write articles about. So, you know, and then the article itself would be to frame up, here's the situation, here's where I've seen people go wrong, you know, or, you know, good marketing gone bad. And then here's the result of that bad marketing. Here's what can happen. But then here are some ways to resolve that. Here's some, you know, a couple of ideas for ways to do it better. So you take each one of those things that they're not doing well at, or maybe they're doing really well. It's a best practice that you see, you know, consistently across, maybe it's across industries. You know, what does that look like? One of the things we were talking about yesterday on the call with Ed is how to be more human. And I think that's a challenge for companies who are trying to scale, but still want to get back to a more personalized approach. And so there's a real challenge there. You could do a number of different things talking about, you know, how to maintain a human or a more personal or customized touch with your most important audience. So I think there's lots of different topics that you could look at just within your own industry and start looking from there. But then also do that Google search and see what else you can come up with, but I think that might be a good place to start for you. Hey, Michael, you're next. Great question. Perhaps I've missed this in the coursework or haven't gotten to it yet, but how do I research a market I've never worked in? Healthcare marketing in my case, such as the type of content, the typical rates, et cetera. So that is a good question. Let me just take a quick look here. I'm just looking through the training in that you folks have access to. And I think, you know, one of the things I would do, Michael, is I would start by, you could even post this in the Facebook group to see if there's any typical rates. Ed might have some feedback for you in terms of how to look for these things. But I would do that same, I'd do that same approach to looking at, you know, maybe some of the companies, start there, see what kinds of things they're producing, see how often they're producing it, kind of get a sense of, you know, really get a feel for what's happening in the healthcare marketing industry or in that marketplace to start at least getting a sense of what their needs are. And I think that, like, from a typical rate perspective, and one of the things you'll see as you start looking at different companies and how they're marketing themselves is you'll see the type of content that they're using right now, that they're producing and putting out right now. And maybe you could brainstorm and come up with some alternatives, some new ideas or some new approaches for them. Maybe they're missing an important market. Maybe they've got a product that would really be, you know, but they're not talking to the exec. Maybe it's a great product for, maybe it's a great product or service for someone who's a new parent, for example, in the healthcare marketing thing. Maybe they, again, and you see that they're really not doing a good job of speaking to that market well, effectively, that kind of thing. So I look for that same thing, is look to see, are there improvements that you could suggest for these different companies? Are there different ideas that you could suggest? But as far as typical rates are concerned, I think that you set a baseline for your rates, and until you dive in and really start talking to people and having conversations, discovery calls with prospects, it's going to be hard to get a sense of what typical rates are because honestly, every business is a little bit different. The amount of information they're going to provide to you, the expectation of, you know, how long is the piece, how much research do you have to do, all of those things come into play. And I would use the standard rates that Ed provides in his fee agreements. I think he's got a sample price list, and I would just start with those, you know, or maybe if you're new to it, maybe back them down 10% or 15% or something like that. But, you know, from a rate perspective, it can be a little challenging to find out exactly what typical rates are. If for something as simple as a blog article, the rates are going to be reasonably consistent across the board, give or take. And again, depending on, like, I've been paid as much as, $800 for a blog, you know, or close to $1,000 for a blog article. But then there's the other end of the spectrum where, you know, I've been paid as little as $400 for a blog. So, you know, you kind of split the difference, put your pricing somewhere in between there. You know, maybe no, your floor is 500 and it goes up from there or something along those lines. So typical rates are challenging, but it's having lots of conversations, and that's where you'll start uncovering, because you can ask that question of, so what's your budget for this project, and start getting the information directly from the industry. All right. I'm just looking through your comments. Thanks, everybody, for sharing some tips. All right. Joanne, you're up next. I need help committing time to do my own business. I always put client work first to work on my own business. So I think what you're asking, what you're saying is I need help committing to doing the work on your own business and putting client work first, which is normal. And that's pretty common. So I think your question is, how do you do that? I'm hoping that's your question. And it's a matter of, you know, I talked earlier about the quadrant and having that fourth quadrant being, you know, business, working on your business. I am a big fan of starting small with these things. And so what I would recommend is that as you look at your week, and obviously client work is important. It's very important for you to get that done and get it done on time. But Ed recommends things like theme days. So for example, Monday is a theme day. It might be you're doing marketing, you're taking part, maybe you've carved out time to take a course. So Mondays are times where you're not necessarily working on client, or Friday, you could pick a Friday or Wednesday, any day that just works for you. But Monday or Friday, for example, that might be the day where I'm doing everything but client work. And I'm focused on, maybe I spend part of the day marketing and focused on maybe writing a blog, starting to write a blog, working on a blog for myself, maybe adding more things to social media, spending more time on social media, maybe spending some time with in a training program that I've participating in, that kind of thing. So it's a theme day. If that feels uncomfortable to you, then cut it in half. To maybe a half a day where you're spending just on your business. You could even do that a half a day every other week, and it's better than not doing it at all. So I wouldn't cut it down too much more than by, I would devote a couple of hours, and depending on how you work, you might be able to break those hours up over the course of a couple days. But I personally find that if I'm going to immerse myself in working on my business, I like to do it in a chunk of time. So it might be 2 or 3 hours in a row where I'm just blocked out the morning or the afternoon. And that's what I'm going to do, is roll up my sleeves and shut off my cell phone, you know, maybe shut down my emails, and I'm just working on my business so that I'm not distracted. So start with smaller if that's easier. But I definitely would recommend that you do, maybe you look at your calendar in January, you schedule in 3 days out of the whole month, or maybe you schedule X number of hours. Maybe it's 8 hours. So you've got 2 half days or 3 half days, something like that, where you're just put it in your calendar and commit to it and stick to it. The other thing that you can do is use the, we have the accountability thread in the Facebook group. And if that's something that you really want to use for, and we try to do that. I try to follow up with people on Fridays to just find out, hey, how'd you make out this week? How did you, you know, you said you were going to do this. How did it go? And that's just to let you know, hey, we're, you know, we're paying attention. If that's something that you would find helpful, Joanne, feel free to say, look, you know, this week is going to be my first week, or I'm going to work on my business on Tuesday or whatever. And then when I follow up at the end of the week, I'll make sure and check to see how that went. So if that's helpful for you, that might be a good tool, if you will, to utilize to help you stay focused on working on your business, because you have to. It's really critical to do that on a regular basis. And again, small amounts of time are better than no time at all. It's kind of my approach there with working on the business. All right. Great questions today. All right, Leslie, you're up next. Leslie says, I offered a fee proposal that included 3 levels. That includes blogs, related case studies. My client said she was interested in 1 case study. She guessed at a fee and was surprised when I offered a fee just for this one project that was higher than expected. I told my contact I want to work with her and would negotiate the fee. I think the firm wants to try me out, which is fine. What else should I do? Good question. I think one thing you might consider, Leslie, is to offer a one-time project. And that's something that Ed and I both recommend, is to, you don't want to jump in with a client and create some kind of a long-term agreement when you haven't really worked with them, because they might turn out to be a, you know, a really difficult client to manage or really hard to work with. Happens all the time. So starting out by saying, okay, let's, you know, based on the feedback, based on our discussion, here's what I think makes sense. Let's do one case study, two blogs. I'll do it at this rate, do it at a reduced rate so that it's more palatable. And, you know, just this will be the arrangement, just so that we can see if we work well together, if this is a good fit for both of us, because it's going to be a good fit for them, but it's going to be a good fit for you too. It's no fun to have a client that's really difficult to work with. It's draining. They could be really picky. Maybe they want tons and tons of rewrites. Maybe they're, you know, that kind of thing. All of those things can be very draining and very distracting to you. So you definitely want to set up. I would definitely go back and recommend and say, look, you know, but rethinking what we talked about, here's what I recommend. What do you think about we do one case study, a couple of blogs, here's the rate I'll charge you. And it'll be just as a trial for us to make sure that, you know, that this is going to be a good working relationship. And no expectations beyond the trial. So if we choose not to work together, no harm done. I wish you all the best, and everybody moves on. So that might be something to consider, Leslie, just to always have that in your back pocket. And I'd almost always start with that. So, because I do that a lot with my clients is, you know, in order to make sure that we can work together, this is how I recommend we begin. And then if we find that we really do click, then we can talk about a longer term arrangement. All right. Great, great interchange here in the chat. Thanks for the resources that all of you are sharing with each other. Yeah, Uber suggests BuzzSumo. Excellent. And Eva, thanks for sharing the podcast from Ed. Sometimes I forget he has just such a wealth of information out there from people who are doing that kind of thing, and a breakdown of client market research. Love that. Love that. And AWAI has a pricing document. Definitely. If you're part of that program, go take a look. Ah. Sorry, I'm just reading through, make sure I don't miss any questions. Leslie, great. Ilhan says, I did a trial project with a client, got good rate for 600 word blog, but it's been stretching out for over a month without proper feedback on my outline. Too bad, but I now know not to expect them to be on top of their things in the future. So great. Good for you, Ilhan. I'm glad that you shared that, that experience of, you know, doing a trial project with a client. It's also setting up good expectations. Sometimes that's what I was saying, is it sounds like this client's a little difficult to manage. It's really important that we manage the clients well, and set expectations. And, you know, this is what ends up happening, unfortunately, is that clients just get distracted. You know, it's the end of the year. They probably have a million things going on. Maybe it's been a couple of months. Things have just, you know, maybe they're putting out fires and just kind of put you to the side. Life happens. Life and business happen. So, awesome. Awesome. Sandra, thanks for sharing the Indistractable, How to Control Your Attention and Choose Your Life. It sounds like a really cool book, and there's a free workbook on his site. So definitely something to go check out. And Joanne is asking a question about, has anyone gotten results by guest blogging? It's a good question. There's a lot of guest blogging that you can do. The other thing is kind of interesting, and depending on what you're doing, but you could also look to be a guest on a podcast. And I was doing that for a while. It was kind of fun. It's a bit of work to find podcasts. I've got a couple of different resources that I get. There's people out there that tell you they can book you on all kinds of podcasts and stuff, but that's a fun alternative because you don't have to produce anything. You don't necessarily have to write anything, but being a guest on a podcast or a webinar, great ways to get exposure in your industry, in particular that, and it's fun. It's really a lot of fun, and it's not as much work as actually writing, you know, an actual blog. I find that, you know, I think, oh, I'm gonna write a blog or an article for a, you know, some organization or some publication I really want to be in. And then when it comes time, it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to fit that in? Like, where in my jam-packed schedule I'm going to fit time into write an article? And then a lot of times they want exclusivity, and that can be a little bit challenging for me if it's a, you know, if I've taken the time and I've really invested and written a good article, if it's the only place that you know, I want to put it on my own blog, or I want to put it. So, you know, it just, it's interesting. I'm not that you can't share it once it's posted on theirs, really depending on the periodical or the publication. But yeah, it's interesting, but definitely worth looking into. Guest blogging is definitely worth looking into, because then you get exposure to a whole nother set of a whole nother network. Yeah. And Patricia, I agree. Connecting in real life with podcasts is preferable. A lot more opportunity to show your personality and style. I agree. I think that you can show, you can have a little bit of fun, maybe, you know, add some humor in and that kind of thing, and give listeners a chance to hear. It's almost like they're seeing you in some cases, but they're really not. They're kind of, you know, building a picture of you from listening to you, but it's definitely a powerful way to get in front of people. Podcasts are cool, and podcasters are always looking for good guests, you know, interesting guests. So bringing something a little bit different to, and you can't just say, oh, I'm a writer or a copywriter or whatever. You might pitch podcasters a specific challenge that, you know, their listeners might be having. So if there's a podcaster that speaks within your industry, so like for perhaps coaches or professional speakers or things, you know, people like that, there's definitely issues, you know, certain challenges that they face. Maybe you could address one particular aspect of the challenges that they face in a podcast. Yeah, making the leap from one career to another. There's so many different ways to approach podcasting. But like I said, I've done a mix. I've done some webinars. I've been invited to create or to record a webinar. I've done that a couple times this year. It was kind of fun where I did a webinar that it's sort of one of my signature, if you will, webinars, a training class, and I would pre-record it and then plug it in. I've done that for two different organizations this year. And that was kind of cool because then they do all the marketing, they sell it, and then I get the publicity from it. It's kind of cool. So there's lots of different ways to get in front of the right audience. That's a lot of fun to do too. I like doing stuff like that. So let me just go back and make sure. I want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. The other book, I know we were talking about habits and organization and things like that. The other book I'm hoping that you've heard of is Atomic Habits by James Clear. He's got a weekly, I guess, newsletter. It's not really a newsletter. It's just kind of an informational email that he blasts out. It's super short and sweet. Very, very interesting. He asks thought-provoking questions, and he sends it out on every Thursday. So it's Atomic Habits. If you haven't picked up that book, I read it earlier this year, and it's powerful. And it's probably something that I'm going to put on my list to reread in 2020. Maybe even sometime in January, I might dive in and reread it because it's that good. It's really interesting, teaching you how to build good habits and why, the why behind it. It's a really cool, book. Great way to help you, just give you some other ideas. He's wildly popular right now. That book came out, I think it came out this past year, if not maybe the end of 2018. And I think even Ed had James Clear on his podcast. So if you want to learn more about him, go to Ed's podcast and search for James Clear. Pretty sure he had James on as a guest. And he's a fascinating guy. Very, very bright man. And his Thursday newsletter is really cool. I've actually borrowed quotes from it before. I love his questions. It's just really, really, really well done. Very, very short and to the point, but powerful. A lot of good information on it. So hey, Joanne, thanks for being here. And have a wonderful holiday season, and we'll see you in the new year. And thanks for sitting as long as you have. Hey, Ilhan, thanks for your question. I was all in on building this writing business, but now I'm considering getting a full-time job and continuing to build it on the side. I think the regularity of income and reduced pressure would help. Any advice on doing both if I go this route? It's a good question. And honestly, there are a lot of things to consider. And I would step back from this. I know that you haven't been in the program super, super long, but I know you've also come in and kind of really attacked it and gone through a lot of Ed's training and done a lot of the things that he recommends. And I know you've been working it. But one of the things that I think is the biggest challenge for people when they get into a freelance situation where they're trying to, you know, build their own business and build something like this is the amount of time that it takes to get to break even. And that's just a very candid, honest comment on my part, is that sometimes it can take a little bit of time, and that's a challenge. So one of the things that Ed recommends he talks about is, if you're working full-time, he talks a lot about ways to, you know, to work your way out of a full-time job and into freelancing and doing the two of them simultaneously. I can tell you, Ilhan, that I started that way. So I was working full-time, and I was actually an on-the-road salesperson. So I was driving. I was nowhere near a computer, and I was driving to some pretty remote areas. So I didn't even always have cell phone service. I'm just looking at, Patricia just shared a comment with you. I'm doing that now. It's exhausting and tough. Agreed, 100%. That was about what I was, that was just about what I was about to say. As honestly, Ilhan, I was working. So I would drive all day, and then I would get home. And sometimes people would want to talk to me in the middle of the day. So I'd have to drive somewhere where I could find cell service, to get on a call, to just even to just go over a project. Maybe they just want to talk for 15 minutes. I would be able to do it because I was out driving around, but if I could make it work. But so I'd be sitting in my car somewhere, talking on the phone. And then I'd get home at night, and I'd eat dinner at my desk, and I'd work until 10, and then I'd work on Saturday and sometimes on Sunday. And it was crazy. It was a crazy, crazy time. And I was grateful because I got let go. I lost my job, and it was, they actually laid off the entire sales team. So a couple of us got let go, and I had been trying to do both for months and I was exhausted. So it was challenging. I'm just being very honest with you there, Ilhan. It's just my experience. Obviously, it sounds like Patricia has done the same, kind of been in the same boat. And thanks, Patricia, for that. And I know you had to go, so happy holidays to you as well. But you just want to be mindful that it is very hard to do both. And regardless of your personal circumstances, in the sense of, you know, do you have a family? Do you have other, you know, responsibilities? Do you have a life? Do you want to have a life outside of work? You know, those things are, you know, come into play. But I think that there are other ways to, I would recommend that you think about a part-time job. So if you're going to do that, find a part-time job. And do something along the lines of, and Greg was is on the call today, and he just took a full-time job with an agency. I would recommend, Ilhan, that you maybe look to see if you can find maybe a part-time gig that will give you that base of income, that consistency and that base of income, and then extra projects become bonus. So, and that's what, and if you do it part-time, that might be a better alternative for you, so that you can still do this. And I'll tell you that that's exactly what I do. And that's exactly what I've been doing for a couple of years now since I started freelance copywriting. So when I started my freelance copywriting, I reached out to a woman that I was a former colleague through actually a franchise that I used to own a million years ago. She was also a franchise owner, and we had become friendly and then went separate ways. We both got out of the franchise. I came back around to writing, and I was just looking up throughout my network, just looking for people, seeing what they're doing. And lo and behold, she was I think she was like manager or director in an agency in Minneapolis. And I thought, wow, I'm going to reach out to her. And I did. She hired me immediately. She said, we need a writer. And so my base was, they assigned me to probably five or six different clients of theirs. And I ghost wrote blogs, and I was working my tail off. It was crazy. But in the pay wasn't super great. I have to admit that as well. But the fact is that it was, I knew every single week that I was going to have this income. And so that allowed me to stay head above water, so to speak. So I was able to rely on that and then add additional projects on top of that. So what I would suggest, Ilhan, is to think about that and just think about a couple of different options. You know, jumping over to a full-time job, it's an option for you. It's absolutely something you should consider depending on your own personal financial situation and what your needs are. It's viable. But I would strongly recommend that you think about finding a more consistent, maybe part-time gig, or to actually find a customer or client or maybe an agency that would utilize you on a more regular basis so that there's that consistency of income. And then as you find additional projects, because then what happens is that it does start to turn. And my most successful financial years are the ones where I had a bigger client that was paying me consistently. And then I was adding other projects on top of that. And that can look, it can come in a lot of different flavors, so to speak, and shapes and sizes. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to necessarily be writing. So for example, I've partnered with Ed now for 2 years, and I have a background in coaching, business coaching and executive coaching. I've did small business coaching for 10 years, I think. And so when he approached me and he and I talked about this, I'm a writer, but what I do with you folks is not writing, it's coaching. And I was fine with that. It's absolutely, it works for me. I love coaching. I still enjoy working with people and helping people. And so it was a good fit. And it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly in the industry. Now, I took this on and I started working with Ed and partnering with him at a time when my writing, I'd already been a freelance writer for several years. So it was, I didn't necessarily care about experience, you know, getting more experience or samples or any of that stuff. That wasn't important to me at the time. I was looking to find that thing that I knew I could, that was consistent. And so that's how it worked out. So again, Ilhan, I'm just going to encourage you to keep your options open. Think about a lot of different ways, a lot of different ways to combine and not just be an either or, like, oh, I'm just going to go get a full-time job. You know, kind of balance that out. Think about what other ways could you make this work and still hang on to having enough free time to build that that freelance part of it. So I hope that's helpful. I really wanted to share some of my personal experiences because it's something I couldn't wait to get away from. And I was given a gift when they called us in and they laid us all off because I walked out of that room skipping because I was so happy. Everybody else was dragging their knuckles on the floor. They're all sad. They lost their job. And I'm like, yes, you know, I walked out saying, thank goodness I am able to not have to work 7 days a week. I was pretty happy about that. But then it meant that I really had to jump in and, you know, and work hard and really focus on building things up. So it can be done, and it might take a little bit longer than you would like. That's the only downside. So maybe you focus for a little while on just connecting with agencies and seeing if you can get in, tuck in under an agency. Maybe that's your focus. Anyway, I hope that was helpful. I'm just going to go back through, make sure I didn't miss anything. And Eva, thank you for sharing your thoughts and your experience with you and your husband. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Eva, your personal experience there. Lots to think about. And Ilhan, I hope that between what other people have shared and what I shared with you is just giving you some food for thought. Great. Thanks for the feedback. All right. Lots of good conversation today. This has been really great. I want to just take a break here. I don't see any other questions. I see some great feedback for that you've all been sharing. So thank you for that. Is there anything that's been really valuable today that we've talked about? It'd be helpful for me to know if there's anything that kind of stands out in our conversation today that just really gave you some new ideas and some new direction that you found helpful. Just type in capital V. If there's any one thing that was useful, let me know. Eva, no worries about TMI. We all have doubts from time to time. Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't, I think it's a great comment, Eva, and I appreciate you sharing sharing what you did. But it's definitely something that you're thinking about. It's on your mind. You know, even when I was at the height, you know, this 2019 has been really my best year yet. And I'm very pleased and excited about that. But that didn't mean that I went through all 12 months not thinking, ooh, you know, I need to focus again. And I need to am I going to have enough money? Am I going to be able to cover things? Were there moments where I was thinking, ooh, I'm not sure if that client's actually going to sign. If they do, I'm in great shape. If they don't, what am I going to do? How am I going to replace them? So even though I've been at this for a long time, I've owned a lot of different businesses. I've been a writer for 7 years. This still happens. It happens all the time. If Ed were here, he would say the same thing. He has a team of, I think, like 12 people that work for him. He still thinks this way. You know, this is not something that's ever going to go away. It's going to be a part of your thinking process at all times. And as you scale your business, what ends up shifting for me was this year's been just a rock solid year for me. That's great. But there were still moments where, okay, so now I'm spending a little bit more. Maybe I'm traveling a little bit more to see people and participating in different events, investing a little bit more in education and things like that. So as your income goes up, your expenses tend to go up in some areas. And so you're looking at, okay, you're still thinking, all right, if that client doesn't sign, how am I going to cover that? What am I going to do? You know, do I have another client in the pipeline? Do I have enough other work in the pipeline to keep me above this particular critical line that I've established for myself. So this kind of thinking doesn't go away, regardless of how big your company is. All right. Leslie says, I'm going to try out Ed's quadrant with Today, Tomorrow, Me, and Business. Also, I'm going back to with my prospect with the trial idea. Great. Please let us know how that works out. Don't be afraid to share that on Facebook. I'd love to hear how that goes. Eva's going to try and find a CRM that works. Absolutely. Michael says the feedback on market research and pricing was huge. Thank you. You're very welcome. And Ilhan says very helpful comments. Awesome. Greg, thanks for your comment. Glad this has been helpful. I am going to ask my final question of the day of our call is, what is your top action item? It could be something that we talked about today, but it doesn't have to be. You know, we're talking about, let's see, 2 weeks left of the year, right? Looks like, and holidays and all kinds of things going on. Is there any action item in particular that you'd like to accomplish maybe between now and the end of the year, or something that you want to start the year off with, which is only 2 weeks away, the new year and the new decade? So type in a capital A for your action item and let me know what you're thinking about working on. Ilhan, continuing with warm email prospecting, 3-2-1 on a daily basis and sticking to a schedule. Good for you. Good for you. And maybe expand your connecting to agencies and different kinds of things. You know, looking for that kind of that part-time thing or something that's a slightly, that's consistent. That'll give you some consistency. I always find that I like to have one, what I call an anchor client, that is that I know is that consistent income, that I know I'm going to be able to, you know, pay myself X amount of dollars. If all my other clients disappear or I don't get any other projects, if I have this one anchor client, that's going to allow me to stay whole. And that's just a slightly different way to think about your business. Eva says, loaded questions. Strive to really get organized. I have a few things daily already. Just need something that helps and doesn't feel like an interruption. Absolutely. Leslie's going to finalize some contracts and enjoy time with family. So I'm ready to start 2020 with gusto. Great. Great. Same here. Eva says, love anchor clients. Absolutely. They're what keep us whole as freelancers. Michael is going to get going on warm email prospecting after this week on holiday break with family until January 7th. So might have to wait till 2020. That's okay. Greg says, redecorating the lighting in my home office for video calls so I stop looking like a terrorist reciting demands. That's really great. Love it. It's amazing what a little good lighting. I have this really cool thing. It's a chair green screen. And you can buy them, Google it online. I don't know if I got it through Amazon or I can't remember, but it is literally this green screen that fits to the back. It attaches to the back of my office chair and it keeps me from, it helps in case someone walks into my, sometimes my husband will step, you know, open the door to my office while I'm on a call. He doesn't know I'm on a call. So it gives me privacy. No one can see behind me. It's really cool. So look for that. I'm going to say it's probably 5 feet by 5 feet or something like that. And it's a bendy. It's got like a wire frame to it. And it's just green, I don't know, some kind of green plasticky material, but it's really cool. So if I put it up, if I know I'm going to be on a call, it's just, it helps. So that is something, Greg, to think about, but then also there you go, Ilhan. Great. Thank you for sharing that. He's shared a post about home office video calls. So lighting is critical, but the background is too. So, because people are always looking at, they're always looking to see, you know, people are interested, like, where are you? You know, I want to see like what's going on in the background. I actually have, the green screen allows me to put up different backgrounds. So I have a picture that makes it look like I'm, you know, sitting in different places. I've got one that has my logo on it, things like that. So depending if I'm recording a video for like a video message for my website, I'll use the one with my logo. That's kind of fun. So, but anyway, they're cheap. I think I paid $40 for this green screen, but it just pops on, pops off the chair, and it's really cool. Helps to keep you keep people focused on you and not, hey, there's a cat in the background or whatever. It's pretty cool. Green screen with Skype. I'm not sure. I use Zoom, which is what we're on right now, the tool that we're using right now. And Zoom allows you to use a green screen and put different backgrounds up. It's kind of fun. I'm not sure about Skype. Awesome, folks. Well, great call today. Thank you, everybody, for all of your thoughts. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with everyone on the call today in the chat. Really, really appreciate everyone's ideas. And so a lot of you have great experience, and I always enjoy seeing what other ideas and offerings you have, because they're great to help each other out. So thank you. Thank you. And I want to wish all of you a wonderful holiday season, no matter what holiday you're celebrating in the coming weeks. Enjoy your families and whatever traditions are important to you. I hope you have a chance to relax too and start the year off, as Leslie said, with gusto. So thanks, everybody. Take care, and I'll see you all on Facebook.